Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by the good graces of God Almighty and On Fire Ministries, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith. And if you don't know who Dr. Stan Monteith is, go home tonight, type his name in the search engine. Hopefully it's DuckDuckGo and not Google. Nobody should be using Google. And go back and look at some of his speeches and the fact that they're coming true today. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I want to talk quickly today about this idea. The enemy's plan is to try to destroy America. Now, around the world, and if you've ever traveled to countries outside of Western Europe, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, and seen the rest of the world, and actually had meaningful conversations with people on the ground in those places, generally, they will say something like, if the United States falls, the rest of the world is going to be a very dark place. And so that's why the United States is the target of the globalists, the Satanists that want to destroy not just the Republic. It's bigger than that. They want to try to destroy Christianity. That's their intent. That's their plan. And we seem to talk a lot about what the enemy is doing instead of talking a lot about what God is doing. That's their plan, and their plan is going to fail. It is going to fail. God is already moving. That's why evil is reacting in this way. It's not the other way around. God is moving right now. There are tens of thousands, millions of people waking up around the world. I mean, if you're seeing Trump 1 banners now spring up all around the world as a sign of truth, but what we really need is Jesus has already won banners springing up all over the world, because that is the bigger issue here. Jesus is victorious. He has already won. This is indicative of not just a great awakening, not just a revival, but a great transformation. And people that I'm talking to right now, it does seem dark. It does seem discouraging. But we shouldn't put our hope in somebody suddenly overturning something in the courts, or somebody suddenly passing a good law in Florida, or somebody suddenly, you know, unveiling the conclusive proof that the election was stolen. We need to put our hope in Jesus Christ. We need to stay there. Doesn't mean we don't work on those other things in, you know, exposing darkness and showing evil for what it is and defeating it wherever we come against it. But the important part is keeping focused on Christ, staying in his presence, staying in his presence, knowing him, not just knowing about him, but knowing him intimately, knowing his heart, knowing what his plans are, knowing what his word says, but knowing him in that sense. And the rest of the stuff that is happening out there, all of that, the solution is Christ. And so right now, as we come into this era, this end of the age, there are some similarities with the end of the last age in AD 70, where they're deceivers, people's hearts start growing cold, but at the same time, as apostasies, there is also a great awakening and a huge move of Holy Spirit. And I believe firmly, Spokane, Washington, this region, is going to be the source of a massive ignition of Holy Spirit. And revival is already here. And we're going to see transformed lives. We're going to see transformed communities. We're going to see transformed families. We're going to see transformation. Some of this other stuff is going to be going on. But the thing to focus on is what is God doing right now, not what the enemy is doing. I'm super excited because there are some things that are coming up here at the end of August and also this month that are leading us in that direction. One of those things is the Worship in the Park. It's going to be June 19th. Same place down at Riverfront Park. Please invite everybody that you know to come down there and be with us and experience Holy Spirit. Experience the presence of God and that transformation power. Now, we typically will go out, we'll evangelize. We do baptisms down there. We pray over people that are having a hard time in their lives. So it's really a wonderful time of fellowship. So please join us for that. Please join us for that. All right. Now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. I love this. At the same time, I really don't love this at all. And by the way, it was a year ago, over a year ago, where on this radio show, we talked about the idea that this coronavirus was a Chinese Communist Party virus leaked from a lab and was essentially a failed bioweapon and then was being used to implement control mechanisms as part of the globalist plan. Okay, we have now been proven correct. 100% now. You know, that's hyperbole. 100%? Yeah, no, it's 100%. All right, so we know that this was leaked. There are multiple Chinese that have come forward talking about this, reports on this. Very clear what this was. And the other part of this story that has not come out yet is the involvement of the United States in helping facilitate this type of research that's still coming out. But we even talked about it back then. And now it's being exposed. The farcical mask is being exposed. Right? The idea of stopping a mosquito with a chain link fence, because that's what a mask is in an attempt to stop a virus. Okay, the attempt to justify the COVID-19 gene therapy, it's not a vaccination, a gene therapy. The idea to justify all of these now temporally related deaths, over 4,000 now, and I think it was approaching 5,000, temporally related deaths. Now, normally, like the flu vaccine was like 15 temporally related deaths. What does that mean? A temporally related death means that it's a death that occurred in a short span of time after a vaccination. So you can't necessarily prove causation, but you can certainly see dramatic problems if in time, so like I said, like the flu vaccine, 15 out of millions of doses versus this gene therapy where you have now approaching 5,000 according to the vaccine adverse event related system and database, VAERS, you can know that there is an issue. You might not be able to prove causation exactly, but you could say, hey, wait, there's something really wrong. If it's normally 15 to 50 deaths, and now you're talking over 4,000. Yeah, something's really wrong here. So these temporarily related deaths are a huge indicator, because if you actually go and see how many people are dying of COVID, that are, which really shouldn't be in a lot of cases if they were given other medication and treatment like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and other treatments that involve vitamins as well, according to doctors. Why are we still going down this road unless it's part of a control mechanism? And this is where Rand Paul has been doing some fantastic work, trying to redeem himself after that vote in January. Doing some fantastic work. And for all of you out there, I've met Rand Paul. And if he was sitting here right now, I'd be like, what were you thinking in January? Brother, you've done so much good work, and then that. But he is doing a fantastic job right now, give credit where credit is due, exposing Fauci and all this fraud. And also how money, again, money plays a part in all of this. So, with that, I'm going to, this is both a international and national news story. This coming to us from WorldNet Daily. A scientist heading up the Virus Origin Task Force is the same man who thanked Fauci for dismissing the lab leak theory. So the same guy who had already taken a position on this, Peter Daszak, and I'm not pronouncing his name right, Peter Daszak, He's the president of EcoHealth Alliance, which describes itself as a global environmental health nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting wildlife and public health from the emergence of disease. Well, this guy is leading the task force. So you think that they're putting somebody in that's going to tell them what they want to hear? Yeah. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is now coming back out into the public. Quote, China virus greatest attack on world in history. Quote, I turned out to be right about the origin of the COVID-19 epidemic. Amid growing evidence that the once mocked lab leak theory of the origin of the novel coronavirus is correct, President Trump said Monday it appears that China has carried out the greatest attack on the world in history. Whether it's on purpose or not, now we can get into that, how they locked everything down, except all of a sudden a lot of people left from Wuhan to other parts of the world, and it appears that that's what helped to spread it. We're not going there right now, but in the future we're going to. Whether it's on purpose or not, it's the single greatest attack on the world, and not just us, on the world in history, he told Fox Business Network's Stuart Varney. Trump said China cannot afford to pay the true cost of the damage to the world. The former president, I'm not going to say that. The president has suggested $10 trillion, but he knows that China cannot afford that. But they should pay something, because what they've done is unthinkable, he said. Now, this narrative is setting up the idea and the push that the debt that is owned by China, the U.S. debt that is owned by China, should not ever be repaid. That the damage they caused to the United States will just call it even, and the debt is wiped out. That is the narrative that is being set up here. So understand, look five moves ahead. That's what's being set up here. All right. Next on the international front, a new Israeli government. I'm not going to comment necessarily on the politics over there in Israel, as much as I want to just say this, that Netanyahu was set up for failure when he locked his country down and was imposing draconian things that were reminiscent of World War II, and his people didn't support him. Now, this other... Now, part in the numbers they should have, part of it was you had this right-wing defection that occurred, and now there's a new government. It remains to be seen what this is going to look like here in the next few weeks. But I don't know. The Bennett-Lapid government, with its first major challenge of Iran's nuclear breakout, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. So I want to focus on part of that, that, you know, this interesting story, Iran's largest warship catches fire and sinks near Hormuz. The Karg, the Iranian Navy's largest warship, caught fire and sank on Wednesday. This is coming to us from Deb Kafile, off the Iranian port of Jask near the Strait of Hormuz. Western intelligence sources report that a fire in the engine room caused one of the ship's boilers to explode. That sounds like another cyber attack to me, where the SCADA systems, the interfaces between the physical parts, the physical mechanisms, and the digital parts, if a virus gets into the digital parts of it, it can turn those mechanized parts into a weapon if particularly it involves boilers, involves centrifuges, etc. Okay, so again, this looks like there's a lot going on behind the scenes to try to keep Iran hemmed in. Either way, it still points in the direction of war in the Middle East and not just the normal state of war that they seem to have over there, but actual war in the Middle East. All right, also on the international front, coming to us from Breitbart, servers down worldwide, UK government, Amazon, newspaper websites impacted. Several of the world's most trafficked websites were inaccessible or running unreliably Tuesday morning, with many impacted sites showing 503 errors. In other words, the server's not ready to handle the request. So these were server attacks. It appears that some of that stuff is back up. It says, what has caused the massive outage is not presently known. All right, so let's stop for a second. I'm going to tie this into the national front. So you had this cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline. You had this cyber attack on JBS, which accounts for 20% of U.S. meat production and Australian, by the way. And then you have another massive cyber attack on news sites, okay, so where information gets trafficked. Amazon, which is a logistics hub, and then the UK government. All right, so what we're seeing is continued probing cyber attacks where there will be in the future an attempt, and we come against this in Jesus' name, but there will be in the future an attempt. This is the enemy's intent to come against all critical infrastructure at the same time, government at the same time, government operating systems, etc., news systems, etc., news sites, and try to take an entire country down. Well, guess what country they're going to aim for? They're going to aim for the West. They're going to aim for the United States, Australia, Britain, New Zealand. They're going to aim for the West, Canada. So we're seeing this continue to ramp up. More of these attacks, and it's on critical infrastructure, and they're attacking intentionally major points in the supply chain. So your major manufacturers being attacked is not out of the question. In fact, if you're a major manufacturer listening to the show today, I would really up your cyber game. Get somebody who knows what they're doing. And if you don't know, we can connect you with somebody. But the important point is, this is ramping up for a massive cyber Pearl Harbor, a massive cyber attack to try to cripple the United States, where they attack all critical infrastructure at one time, news websites at one time, government websites at one time, financial websites and financial control mechanisms at one time, and try to take everything down. So understand, this is more than just kind of one-off attacks. These are happening now on a weekly basis, where there is a major critical infrastructure attack that is being successful. That's the key, being successful. Now, it can only be for a short period of time in some cases, or a longer period of time in the case of the Colonial Pipeline. But that's what they're aiming for right now. So if you own a business, it behooves you, if you understand where this is headed, to start taking precautions start thinking about the fact, what if the power went down? How would I be affected? If all the electricity went out because of a massive cyber attack, how would I be affected? If we no longer could get natural gas, how would I be affected? If I could no longer get supplies, how would I be affected? And how do you mitigate that? Or how maybe, as we used to do in the free market, how maybe we could start storing things up inventory-wise locally. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that's cost prohibitive with the just-in-time logistics system. Think about what's happening, where this is headed, and what can you do to mitigate it. On that, we're going to switch now to the national front. This coming to us from Technocracy News. Power Grid. Energy Secretary warns of crippling cyber attacks. Now, this is unbelievable hypocrisy on the part of the pretender and his administration. So, within 72 hours of the pretender being installed, they take away what President Trump had put in place regarding protections and the hardening of our power grid. And now they're saying, well, yeah, there could be crippling attacks on our power grid. Unreal. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm on Sunday called for more public-private cooperation on cyber defenses and said U.S. adversaries already are capable of using cyber intrusions to shut down the U.S. power grid. Now, this is something we've been talking on this radio show for years. I think that there are very malign actors who are trying. Okay, so whatever. Okay, there are bad actors who are trying. Even as we speak, there are thousands of attacks on all aspects of the energy sector and the private sector generally. Actually, it's tens of thousands, okay? But my point, again, is so it's like this is being set up. Now they're creating the narrative. Like it's being set up. And we don't want to be fear-mongering regarding the grid and cybersecurity. There's things that should be done. We should harden the grid against EMP and cyber attack. And it's fairly simple to do it. It only costs in the billions of dollars. It doesn't cost in the trillions. It costs in the billions of dollars. It's not super expensive to do it, relatively speaking. A few billion dollars, that's it, to harden the grid against all this stuff. But what these guys want to try to do is use the fear-mongering, gin up the narrative, and then use it again to impose control mechanisms. So we got to be careful that we don't throw one out for the other. There do need to be critical infrastructure hardening, but we also don't need to use this as an excuse for more control mechanisms. Like you need to give up more of your freedom for cybersecurity, right? That's their pitch. We don't need that, but we do need to understand that they are actually setting it up so that there can be successful cyber attacks. Otherwise, we would have hardened the grid already. They wouldn't have eviscerated what President Trump was trying to do. All right. Also, and I love this, I'm going to jump back because this involves U.S. funding. So remember that President Biden took off the moratorium on funding the Palestinian Authority. And now, of course, the funding goes to the Palestinian Authority, and what do they do? Well, a couple of articles coming to us from Jihad Watch. First, the Palestinian Authority pays $42,000 to the family of a jihad terrorist who murdered two Israelis. Then, the Hamas top dog admits that they carry out jihad operations in civilian buildings in Gaza. So Hamas leader Yahya, I'm not making this up, Yahya Sinwar admits that the terrorist group hides in civilian buildings in Gaza. So yes, they are in Gaza. Yes, it's being funded. And now it's being funded by, of course, American taxpayer dollars, thanks to Joe Biden's handlers. And you can read that on Jihad Watch. Incredible. Super simple if we just pay attention. All right. Some good news on the national front. Judge Roger Benitez overturned California's assault weapons ban. And Here is a couple of, I want to read these to you, a couple things from his decision. Quote, like the Swiss Army knife, the popular AR-15 rifle is a perfect combination of home defense weapon and homeland defense weapon. Good for both home and battle, the AR-15 is the kind of versatile gun that lies at the intersection of the kinds of firearms protected under the Heller decision. Now, this was a decision that upheld the right to bear arms individually. This is pretty good. A step in the right direction. We can't let our guard down, but that is some good news recently. Some other good news coming to us from Breitbart. SCOTUS, Supreme Court, unanimously rules against illegal aliens seeking to permanently stay in the United States. The Supreme Court on Monday held that illegal aliens who were subsequently given temporary protected status are not eligible for green cards to permanently remain in the U.S. So what was happening is the Democrats were trying to, and these communists were trying to create a loophole where they gave them temporary protected status, and then they said, okay, yeah, you can have a green card, and essentially they would just stay in the United States in perpetuity. So that is now shut down. All right, lastly, I want to give you, so as many of you know, we have been at a few locations as On Fire Ministries. You can find where our locations are for Sunday worship, 10 a.m. on Sunday, at SpokaneOnFire.church, SpokaneOnFire.church, or SpokaneOnFire.com. Terribly, on Memorial Day weekend, the Spokane Valley Event Center essentially kicked us out after we had service there. And as a combat veteran, to have that kind of thing happen on a Memorial Day weekend, obviously, is just beyond the pale. So they were listening to some Marxist groups locally. They're very anti-Christian, militantly anti-Christian groups. And it was sad. Just the whole thing was sad. But this is not just happening here in Spokane. You had Brian Williams basically equate those on June 6th, D-Day, that rushed the shores of Normandy as Antifa. If you have not seen this video, every single veteran out there listening to my voice right now should go and look at that video. Absolutely appalling. In addition to that, this coming to us from the Associated Press, believe it or not, another official resigns over censored Memorial Day speech. Both organizers of a Memorial Day ceremony have now resigned under pressure after they silenced a retired U.S. Army officer's microphone while he was talking about how freed black slaves honored fallen soldiers just after the Civil War. So this isn't... They always have to try to silence Christians and patriots, especially veterans who have served in combat. They have to try to silence them because they carry the legacy, they carry the heart, they carry the spirit of a country. And we're just seeing this continue to grow across this nation, and that's why all of you listening to my voice right now need to get involved. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you very much for everybody that has been going to Facebook and liking the Patriot Radio US page and also going to Podbean and doing the downloads. We just passed a few milestones here recently, so thank you all for that. And remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon. All right, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you once again John Guandolo. He is president and founder of Understanding the Threat, one of the best organizations in the country. It is the best on the jihadis and talking about the intersection with the communists and what they're trying to do here in this country. And also, even more importantly than that, getting people into the fight and into action. John, thanks for joining me once again on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, as always, Matt. Wonderful to be on with you and your Patriot team.
Well, so once again, this is a newsflash. No Irish, people of Irish descent or people of Italian descent were burning cities or breaking windows here over the last few weeks in America. But if you were watching the mainstream media, you might get a different take on that. I don't know. It seems like they are ramping back up again. If you can tell everybody out there in Patriot Radio land, where are we headed right now over the summer? And then we'll get into some other things about what's happening against Patriots across this land.
Well, I think it's kind of like being back in the AOR in Iraq and Afghanistan. When the weather warms up, you know, the bad guys come out. And they ramp back up. So we're certainly looking at that. They're certainly planning right now. Both the jihadis and their communist allies are ramping up. So we would expect to see, based on some of their, not only their traffic and what they're saying they're going to do, but also what our intel is telling us, I would suspect that we're going to see some more trouble. That shouldn't surprise anybody, though.
No, it shouldn't. It seems like the Pretenders administration right now is warring against America on many, many different fronts. If you could lay out a few of the most egregious right now for everybody. You know, this video with Brian Williams was just absolutely beyond the pale. It's infuriating, actually, and I think it really is dishonoring of everyone that has served in our military, and more importantly, it's dishonoring of those that gave their lives for this country.
Well, when you talk about where are those things in the government where we see them warring against the citizens, well, I would start with an article we wrote last week asking, is the Biden administration... is America at war with Israel through its proxies of the Biden administration, Iran and Hamas? So there's that. So our administration, or the regime, the illicit regime, I might add, in Washington, is supporting the largest state sponsor of terrorism, Iran, and a designated foreign terrorist organization, Hamas, against Israel. But also against American citizens, because there are Hamas operatives inside the Biden administration. So there's that. Then there is the assault on our inalienable rights of free speech and free expression, of the inalienable right to self-defense. And I think if we just start right there, that is, I don't know that it gets more egregious than those right there. Being disrespectful for those who have served our nation is just the natural outcome of a direct assault on basic unalienable rights. So that is actually not shocking to me that this administration is so disrespectful to our brothers and sisters in arms.
It really seems like they try to cover it with their rhetoric. Oh, no, we love veterans. We love, you know, but their actions always seem to expose who they are. And we're seeing that, too, with this concerted effort to purge patriots from the government, from the military, from law enforcement. So talk a little bit about that as well.
Well, let's first start with the tactic itself. Purging. These are things that totalitarian regimes do. So even patriots that I run into are having a difficult time grasping the fact that this isn't a liberal, left-leaning administration, all of that in quotes. This is a totalitarian regime that seeks to purge. Who purges? Communists purge. Nazis purge. Totalitarian regimes purge. That's what they do. When we're talking about purging people who are expressing themselves freely, that's what totalitarian regimes do. That's what this administration is doing. Talking about punishing people for freely expressing themselves. Where in the military, these are direct quotes from people in the military, if they find you have a Brexit sign or something like that, like a text it sign, meaning Texans who want to be independent from the country. Just having the bumper sticker on your vehicle as a military person will get you in trouble, meaning they will use the UCMJ to punish you if you do that, which is that is pretty unbelievable. But, okay, so that's where we are. But more importantly, as you were talking about right before I came on, the fact that they would go after people for even lesser, I'm going to put offenses in quotations, that's where we are. That you will get punished if your thinking is not right. We are truly living in George Orwell's 1984.
We really are. And I think a lot of folks out there don't realize how far along they are in their plans right now. There are good people right now in the U.S. government, in the military, in law enforcement, who are having their social media posts mined to find anything there that might give an excuse to fire them or otherwise sanction them, move them to a lesser position that is of no effect. We're seeing this stuff happen right now, and this is all a strategy and a tactic of the communists and the jihadis. They've used it all over the world, and we're seeing it now here on our own shores here in America.
That's absolutely right. And what's, to me, what's very disconcerting is what you just said. They're not just saying, hey, don't do this. You know, you might get, you know, your wrist slapped. They're aggressively pursuing patriots to weed them out. And therein lies the issue. And I think what patriots need to do is stand firm and stay in the military. Otherwise, we're literally surrendering to the communists.
So with the Chinese, you know, coming out even 4 years ago saying that we need to attack the United States election systems and we need to, you know, continue to undermine their core institutions, they're very open and blatant about this. What is China's next step? And, you know, are we going to see, you know, Trump's come back out of his shell a little bit. Are we going to see anything new from President Trump? Is there a plan? That's what we keep hearing. But is there really a plan?
I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one in 4 years that that any semblance of a strategic plan to deal with the communist Islamic threat, their collaborators, their financiers, nothing. I mean, that's the reason he's not in office. He had a couple opportunities to lay the hammer down. He didn't do it. He's paying the price. And look, I think what he did while in office is amazing he got any of that done. I'm not taking that away from him. But, you know, he took office, and the first thing he did, because he didn't understand how bad it was he put the GOP in charge of filling his administration. And who'd they fill him with? Turds. Bad people that are not with him. And if you're not with Mr. Trump, you're not with the American people. You're not for liberty. Look, you can say what you want about Mr. Trump, all kinds of stuff, but what he definitely was for was liberty and our unalienable rights. And so I'm upset that he didn't strategically address these threats. But he himself, you know, by his own hand, opened the door to the bad guys and let him in his administration. I mean, the people vetting national security positions for his administration were batting against him. He puts the GOP chair in as his first chief of staff, or that's previous. I mean, these are devastating decisions. So when we talk about these external threats, the liaison, the official strategic partnership between communist China and the largest state sponsor of terrorism, Iran, which occurred last August. And you look at Iran and Russia and Turkey working together and expanding what Turkey is doing. And they're doing it all for different reasons, but it all is detrimental to us. Well, that's really bad. But the thing that's worse is here domestically, local and state and federal law enforcement agencies have not only not the vast majority, not dealt with. The communist organizations, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Democratic Socialists of America, Communist Party, USA, Code Pink, Green Party, all these organizations that are taking cities down, both violently and nonviolently, they're not only not doing anything, they're going after people that are trying to do something to protect their communities. So, yeah, we've got a big storm coming. And unfortunately, people in charge at the local and state level do not, and let me be clear, the Democrat Party, I'm on record and understanding the threats on record. The national leadership, these are communists for the most part, whether you pick them. I mean, as you well know, Trevor Loudon has done a beautiful job putting together about the 5 or 6 dozen most easily identifiable communists in Congress, and 100% of them are Democrat. That's just where the chips fall. Openly supporting the communists, openly endorsed by Communist Party organizations. So put that aside. But the trouble I'm talking about are Republican leaders from, in many cases, like my home state of Texas, you know, the governor and a state legislature that have proven themselves to be hostile to the people and to liberty. Hostile. And they do the same thing the U.S. Congress does, just like these turds like Mitch McConnell and all these others up there are doing. They take it right up to the edge. They give the enemy the victory. And then they go, oh, we almost did it, just like Texas legislature did. They pushed off these important votes to the very end, and they say, oh, we just missed doing it. But boy, we were trying for you. These people should be thrown out today. It's outrageous. These are cowards, and they're not patriots. And I'm talking about Texas. I think we've identified about 6 state legislators in Texas that are worth a crap. The rest of them are cowards. And the freaking governor is a coward, and all of a sudden he's trying to be Mr. Macho and show how conservative he is. Well, for the last several years, he's been throwing us under the bus. It's outrageous. And this is what we're up against. And these people are going along to get along. And as our founders said, the elected officials must fear the people, a healthy fear, because they know we won't tolerate it. But a lot of Americans still, today, still asleep.
Still asleep. So how do you get them active? You guys have been working on this for a very long time. How do you get people active? How do you get them into action, changing communities at the local level? Because it's got to start there first. Washington, I think too many people focus on Washington, D.C. when it's right in our own neighborhoods.
Yes. So as you all know, the work we do is at the local level primarily. Yes, we still work with national leaders. We are still, I mean, I don't know if your listeners have seen, but a couple of days ago, Mike Flynn, General Mike Flynn, put something out endorsing Understanding the Threat, saying this is a great organization. You got to get behind them. They are doing amazingly professional and productive things at the ground level and above. So we appreciate that. And we work with people like that. We work with people that are in that realm, but it's at the local level because of how bad the situation is. And so when you ask, how do you actually do it? We have found that by taking time for people to sit down and really understand what's going on, taking a few days through our Into Action training program, teaching them how to not only share that with others in their circles, but also how to organize teams to build ground teams at the local level. And at whatever level you want, whether it's you just want to hand out flyers and maybe chat with your pastor, or you want to very aggressively help dismantle these networks at the local level lawfully, we show people how to do all of that and teach them. And it is, now that it's picking up steam and we've had a number of victories at the local level and shutting some individuals and organizations down, it's know, people are paying attention now, but most people don't know we're out here and don't know what we're doing. So we are hoping that through the help of people like Mike Flynn and others that have a much broader platform than we do, they will help explain to people why the work we're doing is critical. But literally, we just hand you tools, we give you a framework, and we say, we'll be a resource for you. Let us know what else we can do for you. And then we'll help you along the way and provide guidance and resources. And where possible, where you've got good sheriffs that understand that things are really broken, then we marry those teams up at the local level with the sheriffs, get the sheriff's office trained, get their detectives and their deputies trained. And then now they've got this group of people that's like an intelligence asset for them for free that is professionally trained. It's awesome. I think sheriffs are fools not to support this, what we're doing at the local level. So that's the good news.
It is the good news. It just takes all of us, not just a few people, all of us to actually get involved to make this happen. And I think too often people think, oh, well, so-and-so is going to do this. You know, we elected him to do that. I don't have to really do much more than make sure he gets elected or she gets elected. When in fact, we have to continually be in this fight until the communists are defeated in this country and the jihadis.
That's right.
Did I lose you? Looks like we may have lost John there.
I hit the mute button with my face. Sorry. I think one thing I want to share is sometimes when we start by explaining to people what we do, and we begin by explaining to them, hey, you know, we are a resource out here that takes care of these jihadi and communist networks. Sometimes people, because they don't understand, they get a quizzical look on their face. But really what we're doing at Understanding the Threat, and quite frankly, a lot of the work that you are doing, is we're dismantling corruption in the community. That's really what we're doing. And everybody knows that the system is highly corrupt right now, that both political parties, especially at the national level, but in many cases at the state level, are not serving the will of the people. They are not defending liberty, and they're not abiding by their oaths of office. That's corruption. And in some cases, it's for matters of greed or power or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's corruption. And all we're saying is we know in many cases who the people are that are driving the corruption, and we'll help you identify them by name in your local community. And that's what we're doing.
This is one of the most important things that we can do, is not just talking about jihadis, not just talking about communists, but also talking about the corruption in the local community, which is actually one of the biggest stumbling blocks, the biggest obstacles to taking on these networks that are here in the United States at the local level. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about our friend Rich Higgins. For months, many of us have been praying for him. Now it's finally kind of come out a little bit about what's happening with him and how people can actually help him and his family, because he's one of the greatest American patriots that I know of anyway, and I'm sure you would agree, of the last 30 years. He has done more than 100 people in their lifetimes to try to expose corruption and try to save and protect and defend our republic.
Well, I certainly agree with you. Rich Higgins has been at the forefront, and myself and Steve Coughlin were the ones who, when we first met Rich, we invited him to a very small gathering in Virginia, very small, and began sharing with him what we had been doing inside the government, because at the time I was still in the FBI and Steve was still with the Department of Defense. And we shared about these threats and how they were manifesting and how we were losing the war because our leaders failed to identify these threats as they actually were, in contradiction to our warfighting doctrine. And Rich was so savvy and so talented that he took that information, he understood how the enemy was doing it, and really put it into that, Mao's political warfare model and said, well, holy cow, they're actually rolling this out in this way together. So you had the jihadis and the communists working together at the international, national, and local levels. And over time, working with him and working with others together with him, it was fascinating. And then he had the wherewithal to help others on the inside begin to see that. But it was a tidal wave of resistance. And even when he got out and began doing it on the private side and was able to host like the Sean Hannity show and share this publicly and was being interviewed on national networks and shared it. When he pointed it out as the strategic, the director of strategic planning for the National Security Council under Mr. Trump, and had written a memo that detailed the working relationship and the danger of the communist and Islamic movements in the United States, he was fired by a counter state, or as some people call it, the deep state hostile H.R. McMaster. And then, of course, he wrote his book and now has been devastatingly sick and in need of grave medical attention, been in and out of the hospital now, over 24 surgeries. I mean, he is a absolute national asset. And I believe one of the keys, key people who could definitely help at the strategic level, help us win this war.
I completely agree. And where can people go in regards to finding out and maybe helping fund and offset the cost of his medical treatment right now?
Well, there is a GoFundMe page established. And if you go to GoFundMe and just put Richard Higgins in the search bar, you'll only get a couple hits, and you'll see a picture of him there in the hospital bed with his bride. And it explains, because he needs basically a transplant for his small colon, for his intestine. And it tells the story about that he's an Army guy, and here's what he's done. It's a fantastic story. The other thing is, you can go to any Red Cross donation bank and say, this is for Richard Higgins at Georgetown Hospital in Washington, D.C. And it doesn't matter the blood type, because they need not only his blood type, they need to replenish other blood. So anybody, they're saying, anybody can donate. Don't worry about it. And obviously, financial donations through the GoFundMe page. And I just want to say, you can give zero, additional. In other words, some people say, hey, I thought, GoFundMe takes, a huge percentage. No, you can click that down to zero. So if you give $1,000 or $500 or $100, that's all you pay, and it all goes to the cause. And they're just asking, hey, would you be willing to pay a percentage, but you don't have to. So I would encourage people to do that. And if you can link either online or something, the GoFundMe page, I could send that to you if you don't have it.
Yes, and I do. I'll make sure I link that up on the Facebook page as well. In the last couple minutes that we have, John, I just want to give you the opportunity. By the way, it did my heart good to hear you say the word Army in a positive sense. That was fantastic. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. I want you to know, all of our kidding aside, you have served your country nobly and honorably, and so has Rich Higgins. So that doesn't get by me.
Amen. All right. Well, I want to give you the last 2 minutes. Where can people go to get connected with understanding the threat? Where can they go to get more information, link to articles, and any other resources you want to put out there as well?
Yes. So I encourage people, go to understandingthethreat.com, understandingthethreat.com. And I encourage you, if you just do one thing, click the button on the homepage to sign up for the newsletter, because then that plugs you into everything. That's the easiest way. Obviously, we have a ton of training. We have a YouTube channel. We put videos on our homepage if YouTube pulls them off, so we have them. We have all of our videos archived in case YouTube ever shuts it all down. But we have that. We do a weekly radio show that is linked to the website. We do encountertruth.net is a website. Every Tuesday we do an interactive program. But all of this, you'll get connected to if you just go to understandingthethreat.com and sign up for the newsletter. We have so many resources. I literally just spent hours today working with somebody to walk through some things about the movement, the communist and Islamic movements. We have tons of resources for free on our website, but we also have streaming videos, DVDs, books, etc., all at understandingthethreat.com.
John Guandolo, thank you so much for everything you're doing for the country, everything you're doing for Christendom. Blessings to you, and keep up the fight. It's always great to have you on. We'll have you on again here soon.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you and your entire team, and thanks for having me on.
All right. John Guandolo, Understanding the Threat, understandingthethreat.com. Go there, check it out. Also, I'm going to put up on the Facebook page the GoFundMe link for Rich Higgins, an American patriot, needs our help right now as well. For everybody out there, remember, we have Worship in the Park coming up June 19th. We're going to do it in the afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock down at Riverfront Park. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.